The Christmas story is a long story, wrapped in myth and legend, scented with seasonal aromas and familiar lingering memories. It is a beautiful story, loved by children and wise women and men the world over. It begins a long, long time ago. Centuries before Jesus, there was in ancient Israel the law, an arduous code of conduct. What started out as 10 commandments grew to over 600. What to eat, how to bathe, what not to wear. The codes were designed, we are told, to help people know God. But there were many, and they grew in their demands on a person's heart. What began as a means of liberation became first a burden and finally a psychological prison. Until the religion of the Israelites had little to do with faith and a whole lot more to do with following rules. Where was the Spirit?
The Spirit suffers under a religion that's nothing but following rules. Religion has got to be liberation and release. It's got to be about transformation. It's got to be about love. Religion is written in the heart, or it's nothing. People know that. Deep inside they know that, which is why when a body gets religion, they become such compelling personalities, like Martin Luther King or Gandhi. The heavy codified religion of the Israelites was just overbearing. In the decades before Jesus' birth, it led to wars and factions, competing orthodoxies on every hand, and darn little comfort. Something's got to give, was the longing in everyone's heart.
Great prophets are rare. Women and men of faith and wisdom who grab you, who make such sense, who connect on such a radical primal level that you're changed for the better right there on the spot. And right here in the heart of hearts. The heart knows that such liberators exist and longs for them. Poet activists who speak to the heart and make it whole. When they arrive, legend tells us, such natural-born leaders tend not to be of the manner born. They come instead from obscure outlying places, places like Pordahar, India, Hoganville, Kentucky, or Hibbing, Minnesota, and they come from loving, unpretentious families. The Christmas story tells of one such family who came from Galilee, of a teenage mother belatedly married to an older working-class dad. Decree from the imperial capital far away had put them on the road. The mother, Mary, was late in her term as they searched for a safe and comfortable place to give birth. It was nighttime.
Later that night, Mary gave birth. The story of the birth itself is gilded with myth, as naturally as such stories grow to be. In a manger, surrounded by animals, visited by the shepherds, the great prophet of Nazareth was born. As the child nursed, Mary pondered many things in her heart.
On the eighth day of the child's life, there was a bris and a naming ceremony. Simeon, a devout, loving man, and Anna, a prophet, saw him and exclaimed, "This child is indeed special. He will grow up filled with wisdom. and with courage and compassion, able to reveal to others their inner thoughts and remind them of their connection to the Spirit.
The youngster showed great promise. He had a keen and active mind and a noble, stalwart heart. Even as a 12-year-old, he demonstrated depth and breadth of soul. As he grew into a man, he became one of the greatest spiritual teachers who ever lived. He inspired people who met him, many of whom looked at him with enormous reverence. People said that he radiated peace, lightness, and joy, and his teaching made them feel even closer to God. After knowing him, people began treating others with more kindness, especially the poor and the sick. Jesus never claimed special status, but he taught people that people with pure hearts will come to know reality as he did, seeing God and beauty everywhere and within the souls of every person.
Jesus' message that we are all equally blessed with divinity was considered subversive and revolutionary by the Roman authorities. He was quickly executed. But his message was too hopeful and too empowering to be forgotten or contained. Within a matter of decades, it had spread across the Middle East and Southern Europe. Roman authorities were threatened by this growing religion and persecuted those who practiced it. But it grew anyway, as it gave courage and meaning to many who followed it. People like the 20-year-old Sicilian girl, Lucia, who gave her life supporting and helping poor people and was put to death when she would not renounce her religion. The story of her courage, faith, and martyrdom inspired others across Europe as people everywhere heard about and adopted this loving, optimistic, and empowering new way of being. In Sweden, far to the north, Lucia's heroism inspired the queen, who became a Christian and celebrated Lucia's courage with a special ceremony every winter. A few years after Lucia's martyrdom, Constantine the Great became emperor of Rome. He stopped the persecutions and then suddenly made Christianity the official religion of the empire. Europeans everywhere had been celebrating return of the sun rituals around the winter solstice for thousands of years. Early Christianity, not surprisingly, first took hold among people living in the cities. Rural folk, called pagans, the Latin word for people living in the countryside, continued to practice older Greek and Roman religions for many years, as we can see. Once Rome adopted Christianity, missionaries quickly appropriated pagan celebrations and rituals, adding touches of their own and infusing them with stories about Jesus and his teachings about love and justice.
Over the centuries, Romanized Christianity grew until nearly everyone in Europe was a Christian. The old empire collapsed, but the Roman Catholic Church remained. The Middle Ages were a period of great faith, but abuses of power and privilege among the clergy made the church increasingly rigid and authoritarian. People were again living and suffering under the law. The simple teachings of Jesus were ignored, especially his belief that all people were vessels of the divine, whatever their station or religious belief. By the early 1500s, a renewal movement began. The Reformation completely changed Western civilization. Many types of less hierarchical Protestant Christianity emerged, including the Unitarians and the Universalists. Okay. Europeans began colonizing North America as this was all happening. Some colonists, including many Protestants, came in order to practice religion in their own way. Intolerance of other religions was widespread until after the American Revolution and the adoption of our Bill of Rights. Following the treaty of 1848, following the 1848 Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, freedom of and freedom from religion was extended to California. The Christmas story continues into modern times, and as there are many who would pervert it, it continues to be up for grabs. Unitarians believe that the heart of the story is Jesus' message of compassion and inclusiveness, simple teachings that continue to inspire anyone who cuts through the many dogmas and doctrines that surround them and surround him. As the Unitarian John Adams wrote in a letter to Thomas Jefferson, another Unitarian, "The whole of religion, philosophy, and morals can be summed up simply in the words, be just and good." And this is what we teach in our religious education program, how to be just and how to be good. This is what our coming-of-age program teaches our youth.
Okay. Look to the children, that we may collectively gaze and ponder upon so much that we all hold sacred. We are thankful for the prophets, martyrs, and reformers who have gone before us. We are thankful for patriots like John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Thankful for the hard work and generosity of the many good people who have bequeathed to us this congregation. Thankful, too, for the creative gifts of our choral musicians, our young actors, and our religious education volunteers. Thankful for our Sunday school teachers with their guidance and our young people with their eagerness to learn. We celebrate again this year the Christmas story. We celebrate its heart, learning to love. We celebrate its magic, its childlike joy, and its capacity year after year to liberate us from the cold world of retribution, bottom lines, and prosaic fact.